You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
The sermon topic for this morning is be kind to yourself. Turn to the person next to you and say, be kind to yourself. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your tremendous grace that you have towards us. Thank you, Lord, that you cover us with your blood, cover us with your righteousness, O Father, and touch and prepare every heart for your word. Let people hear your voice upon my voice and touch and change hearts, O Lord, to believe in your goodness, in your mercy, in your kindness, O Lord. And take us from where we are to where you want us to be. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You know, sometimes it's easy for you to be nice to people around you, kind to family members, to colleagues, but when it comes to yourself, you're so hard, harsh. Don't give yourself any space to breathe. Amen? Let me see by indication of a hand. Who's hard on themselves? No cameras on anybody. No guilt, no condemnation. Many times, we beat ourselves up because of something that we've done and we said we're never going to do it again, and now it's happened again. So if you're one of those people that beat yourself up, carrying a heavy load of self-criticism, maybe guilt or failures of the past, this message is for you. Amen. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to share this with somebody. It's not me. It's for somebody else. Many of us are harder on ourselves than we would be with a friend or with family. Sometimes you don't want to forgive yourself. You're quick to forgive others, but you don't forgive yourself. But Jesus has forgiven you. And this is one of the things that keep a lot of people back in their lives, because they're so hard upon themselves, punishing themselves for past mistakes. Turn to the person next to you, look them in the eyes and say, be kind to yourself. Some of us replay past mistakes over and over and over and over and over again. How could I have done it? Why did I do it? It's in the past. It's over. Jesus does not consult your past in determining your future. So why are you on repeat when it comes to your past? Many of you look at yourself and you think, But when God looks at you, he sees a temple. Not a building, not a shack, not a tent. He sees a temple that's designed with a purpose for his presence to be on the inside. 1 Corinthians 6 verse 19 says, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you? Turn to the person next to you and say, you're a temple. Not any temple, a temple of the Most High God, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. So listen to me. You belong to God. You are made in God's image and God's likeness. The spirit of man and the temple belongs to God. It's his. How will you treat something that belongs to God? Or let me rephrase it. If there was a very important person that gave you something that was very precious, how would you look after it? Because the creator of the universe is more important than anybody and anything upon this earth, in the whole universe. And he says, that's you. Turn to the person that you say, you have value. Listen to me. You're not just some afterthought, something that just happened. You were made in God's image and God's likeness. You might be going through some challenges and difficulties When you go through difficult times, don't be hard on yourself. I quoted one of my favorite scriptures, and I'm going to quote it to you now again. Job, when he was going through one of his most difficult times in his life, a friend of his came to him, Elihi. And Elihi said, I want to say something to you, Job. The Spirit of God has made you, and the breath of the Almighty gives you life. The Spirit of God has made you, and the breath of the Almighty gives you life. Family, when God created the universe, Genesis 1, the earth was full of darkness, it had no form, and it was void, it was empty. And when that happened, the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So what you are going through, what you may be experiencing in your life, it's void, there's darkness, there's no form. Am I talking to the right people here? Let me just wave at me. What happened in that situation? God said, let there be light. That same life-giving Spirit that was over the waters, and when God said, let there be light, is the life-giving Spirit that's on the inside of you. But what are you declaring in your situation? God didn't say, oh, it's so dark. Oh, my word, it's got no form. No. He didn't declare any of those things that was visible with the eye. Turn to the person next to you and say, the darkness, the void was facts. So there are certain things in your life that might be facts, things that you are going through. But the truth is written in this. And I want to say, what book are you going to look at? The black book with all the bad reports? Or the burgundy book? Maybe your book is black, but whatever, your Bible, whatever color it is. Don't look at the outside, look at the inside, what it's saying about the situation. But when you say, let there be light, that light expels darkness. When God said, let there be light, there was light. And where there was chaos, no form, things started to take shape. Where there was darkness, the darkness did not disappear. Turn to the person next to you and say, the darkness will not disappear. Why? Because we're still here on this earth. And there's still darkness and there's still evil things. But what happened is, when God declared and said, let there be light, what will come into your life is the light will separate darkness out of your life. That's the power of light. So family, listen to me. There's two reports. There's the harsh report and there's the kind report. The question you have to ask yourself, what report will you believe? That's what Isaiah said. Isaiah said, whose report will you believe? Are you going to believe the harsh report, that it's dark, that it's void, that it's got no form? Are you going to accept that it's going to stay like that? Or will you accept the report of the Lord, that light will shine into that situation, and where there's no form, bring form, where things are void and empty, God will fill it and give it shape. Turn to the person next to you and say, whose report will you believe? When you read John 10:10, the Bible says that the thief comes to kill, steal, and destroy, but I've come to bring life and life in abundance. You've not been placed on this earth just to go through difficulties. Can I have one amen? Can I say that again? You've not been placed on this earth just to go through difficulties. You've been placed on this earth to experience life and life in abundance. But many times when you've gone through difficulties, one too many times, we become hard on ourselves. And you forget that you're a life-giving spirit. That you've got light on the inside that can expel darkness. But oftentimes because what we experience is so real, the darkness that we see is so real, the things that have got no shape in my life is so real, we start to come in agreement with those things and declare those things, and we make that the reality instead of believing the Word of God. And it happens to all of us, because sometimes things are very real. Was it only pastors that go through tests like that? No. That's why you have to Work with the Word of God and let God work the miracle by allowing His Word to become the standard in your life. Turn to the person next to you and say, don't be so hard on yourself. Listen to me. We have to look at ourselves first differently, see ourselves differently, before we will start to behave differently. Saul in the Bible had a revelation that not any of the disciples had, but he started preaching it and has helped all of us. Saul, on the way to Damascus, had an encounter with God. Acts 9 verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? I want to take some time and I want you to think upon this. Saul is on his way to Damascus. He wants to go kill Christians. He thinks he's busy with a God assignment. He says, I want to kill these bad Christians. And the Lord appears to him and said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who was he persecuting? He was persecuting Christians. Any Christians in the house? Who was Saul persecuting? He was persecuting the Jesus on the inside of every Christian. It says, what you've done to the least of these, you've done it to me. So can I tell you something? When you are beating yourself up, when you are hard on yourself, scorching yourself, not forgiving yourself, criticizing yourself, who are you actually doing it to? The Jesus on the inside that you love so much. Turn to the person next to you and say, Aina. So I want to be kind to Jesus. You know, many times, you know what we do? Listen to me. Can I speak to parents? Sometimes we as parents beat ourselves up because of our children. I wanted to spend more time with them. I wanted to help them. I wanted to teach them this. Turn to the person next to you and say, be kind to yourself. Because when you're kind to yourself, now talk to yourself. Say, when I'm kind to myself, I'm being kind to the Jesus on the inside of me. But when you beat yourself up about past sins, past mistakes, when Jesus has died for all those things, you're not being kind to the Jesus on the inside of you who wants to be kind to you. Job understood this. Go read it. Job 1 verse 20. It says he never sinned with his mouth. Job 1:22 and 2:10. You can go read it. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God with wrong. He was not harsh towards himself. Didn't say, I've done anything wrong. Job 2:10 says, nor did he sin with his mouth. Many times we sin with our mouths when we are hard on ourselves. Am I talking to the right people here? Just turn to somebody else and just say to them, be kind to yourself. You know, can I tell you something? We as Christians are very quick when it comes to men of God to say, do not touch my anointed. But can I tell you something? According to the Word of God, in the 1 John, you are an anointed one. 1 John 2:20, but you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. Turn to the person next to you and say, whether you like it or not, you are an anointed one. Don't touch the anointed one. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you've received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him. So what does this mean? It means you've got an anointing on the inside that wants to teach you. But if you are being harsh to the anointed one on the inside of you, telling him the whole time how bad he is, judging, not forgiving, it's difficult to hear what he is saying to you. The question I want to ask you, here's the test to see if you are hard and harsh towards yourself, can you still listen to the unctions of the Holy Spirit? Let me create another. The Bible, the Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. He's called the Helper. Let me get a new word out there. Are you listening to the unctioner on the inside of you? The anointing that wants to unction you, can you still listen? Or have you become so hard and critical towards yourself that you cannot listen to those promptings anymore? So hard on yourself as a parent, how could I have failed? How could I have not seen this? How could I have not known this? That when the Holy Spirit wants to tell you what to do, you cannot listen and hear what He is saying because you're beating yourself up the whole time. All that you and the Holy Spirit is hearing is, you're beating yourself up. But if you stop beating yourself and you get quiet, you'll hear what the Helper will say. You'll hear what the Comforter will say. But because you are hard and not kind towards yourself, it's difficult to hear. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm going to be kind to myself. Romans 8 verse 11 says, but if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Family, listen to me. You've got the Spirit of God on the inside of you that wants to bring light and life. But if all that we're declaring is death, believing and saying more than what we are feeling, or what we are feeling than what we are believing, it's difficult to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to us. Forgive yourself. When you forgive yourself, you'll be able to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to you. You'll be able to listen to those unctions. Many of you, you used to hear God like this. God used to prompt you like that. At work, you will say, go pray for that one quickly. Share your sandwich with that one. But now it's my sandwich. I'm just trying to get through it and survive. And you're beating yourself up. And when God wants to do little things, you cannot do it, cannot listen to it, because you're not kind to yourself. What does the Bible say? The Bible says, love your neighbor like you love yourself. I think Jesus knew something about us to say to us, listen, if you really want to love people, it starts by loving yourself. And when you can love yourself, then you can love people. But if you're not loving yourself, how can you love people? In every situation, the most important thing, I shared this morning in our pre-service prayer, I said, you want to be able to hear the oracles of God. 1 Peter 4:11, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as if with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. What does that mean? It means sometimes you sit in a situation that looks dark, it looks void, looks like there's no form, you don't know what to do. But if you know what God would do and say in that situation, you can speak it and you can declare it. Media team, sorry, can you put Psalm 51 verse 50 in the Passion Translation on for me quickly? Look at this scripture. The Lord gave me this morning. When you are in a situation, this is what you need. Look at this. Lord God, unlock my heart. Your heart is your spirit. He says, Lord, unlock my heart. Open my heart, the part that's linked up with God. Unlock my lips, and I will overcome with my joyous praise. How will you overcome? When God unlocks our hearts and He unlocks our words to say what heaven is saying about the situation, you'll overcome with joyous praise. So this is our orders. The orders from heaven is to speak what heaven is saying, to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, and to do that. Sometimes the journey that you think is going to be 5 kilometers and the time that you think you're going to do it in, God might bring a detour for you to love on somebody, to care for somebody. That might make your journey longer. But if you've got the grace and the ability to do that, the strength to do it, then do it. I realized this morning when one of the elders said to me, I cannot even run. The fact that you can run is great. I realized there are many people, even when you've done a 7.5 kilometer that's longer than what you wanted to do, there are people that would love to jump into your tackies and say, I would have loved to have done that. So sometimes when we look at our situation and our circumstances, we need to get God's view about that. Amen. So start to speak the mystery of God into that situation. God might just turn your heart around. When you start enjoying the journey, you might just start liking doing a fun run and seeing what it's really all about, that it's more about community and encouraging each other and being there for each other. Amen. Can I say this? When you're in a situation like that, the mistake that we make, the Bible says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. So never start confessing that that which is in the world is greater than God. But when you have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, you will always confess, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Be kind to yourself and say what Jesus is saying about you. You know, when I've realized so many times, when you hear other people's testimonies, you think, if I could just be there, if I could just be like that. You know, you hear about a Moses that was out there and he had an encounter with a burning bush, and you say, if I can just be more out in nature, if I could just be, I can have my burning bush experience. God doesn't work like that. God will meet you where you're at. Sometimes we miss what God wants to do in our own lives in a fun run that you thought could not be fun, but turned out to be a lot of fun. You miss it because you don't show up. We miss it because we don't show up. But when God prompts you to do something, do it. Amen? Listen to this. I want to read this to you. Everything you do is sacred. Can I say that again? Not just the pre-service prayer meeting is sacred. Me running with Odidi is sacred. Me running with my wife is sacred. Me running with any other is sacred. Sometimes you meeting up with somebody for a coffee to encourage them in the Lord is sacred. It's not just coming to church. You can come to church and your mind can be somewhere else. And you can be at work and your mind can be focused upon God. I'm doing it for God. Amen? When we say, I'm kind to myself, it says, I'm going to be a good steward of this temple. And I'm going to look after this temple. And sometimes it's tough. So I'm making a commitment to run the 5 kilometers personal best at the next one. That means I'm going to have to try and I'm going to have to look after this temple and get it fit. Amen? We have to do that, family. Amen. Can I say, look at what you're eating. Don't just eat anything. Look at what you're eating, because sometimes what you eat can be harmful to your body. I mean, you're all on YouTube. You're probably getting all these videos. And if you've got your cell phone on right now, you're going to get spammed by those messages. Amen. You know that. Can I say, take time to rest. When you've worked hard, do what you... God did what he had to do in 6 days. He worked hard. He made sure he finished everything. But then he rested. So make time to rest. Make time to fast. If you make time to fast. Fasting is good. Fast is when you put the flesh under so that the spirit can be stronger. Amen? Fasting is not twisting God's arm. Fasting changes you. Declare the truth over yourself and not all the lies that you hear and things that you see. Sometimes when we look at this, all we see is darkness, void, emptiness. But you have to turn to this where you can find light, life, form, and direction for your life. I think if we start comparing ourselves to the Word, to Jesus, we'll be much kinder towards ourselves and those around us. But if this is all you're looking at and the views of this, this is the view of the world. And half of the people that are smiling, that's looking happy where you want to be, are not even happy. They're faking it. But this is the truth and this is real. Amen? Turn to the person next to you and say, God's going to meet you where you're at. Listen to this. I'm going to read this. He set a bush ablaze in a dull desert while Moses was looking after sheep. So you can be looking after sheep and God can meet with you. He placed a star over a dusty stable and multiplied bread and fish for lunch. He appeared to Gideon while he was threshing wheat and called him a mighty warrior. You can be busy with the smallest assignment and God can show up and call you a warrior. He showed up when Elisha was working with his oxen, calling him to ministry. He was busy plowing. Peter, James, and John were fishing when they were called to follow Jesus. Matthew was sitting at a tax booth in the middle of a workday when Jesus invited him to follow him. You can be sitting as a bank teller. Amen? Or you can sit in SARS offices and God can speak to you. Amen? Amen. Zacchaeus was climbing a tree when Jesus invited him to his house. What does it mean? Climbing a tree can position you to get Jesus' attention. The Samaritan woman was fetching water when she encountered Jesus. Saul of Tarsus was on an ordinary journey when Jesus radically transformed his life. Lydia was a successful merchant who heard the gospel and the Lord opened her heart. Cornelius was doing his routine prayers at home when God gave him a vision that not only changed his life, but also the history of the early church. Notice where God met with people: in the field, at work, at home, on a road, on a boat. God can meet with you anywhere. Turn to the person next to you and say, God can meet with you anywhere. But if you're sitting there at work, beating yourself up, how are you going to hear? If you're on the boat and you're beating yourself up, how will you hear? Places that seemed ordinary turned into extraordinary experiences. Be kind with yourself where you find yourself. Why am I bringing this in? Because sometimes you look at your job and you say, if I could only be there and have that job. You're working in the city and you say, if I could only be out on the farm. Am I talking to the right people? We're never happy where we're at. But where you're at is what God has decided, given you grace to be, and He can meet you there. Be kind to yourself where you find yourself. It might not be where you want to be, and there might be some darkness and void and emptiness pressing against you. But as you start to declare the light and life of God into that situation, it can change, and God will take you from where you are to where He wants you to be. Turn to the person that you say, be kind to yourself where you find yourself. I think we should stop being so hard on ourselves so that we can hear what God is saying to us. I'm going to close with this. Be kind to yourself. If you want to be kind to yourself, let go of the self-sins. You know what self-sins? Self-pity. Oh me, what I'm going through. Self-pity. Let go of the self-pity. It's not going to change anything. Self-condemnation. Why have you done it again? You stupid, you fool, you idiot. You say things like that. There's a Jesus on the inside that you are saying it to. And He's saying, I've died for you not to experience condemnation. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm on the inside of you and you're self-condemning yourself. Not forgiving yourself. Turn to the person next to you and say, forgive yourself. When you forgive yourself, you'll move from being self-centered, it's all about me, how they make me feel, to being Christ-centered, to what God wants to do in you, with you, and through you. In our hearts, we are made to be like God. So be kind to yourself. Jesus that's on the inside of you is kinder to you than what you are to yourself. It was Wigglesworth that said, God is more ready and eager to answer prayers than what we are ready to ask. Because of our hearts and our attitude that we have. You have a life-giving spirit on the inside of you. You have a life-giving spirit hovering over you. Declare the word of God. I'm not going to read all of it, but you can go read Psalm 29, verse 3 to 9, where it talks about the voice of the Lord that's over the waters. I want to say to you, the voice of the Lord is over you. It says there, the voice of the Lord divides the flames. The voice of the Lord causes the deer to give birth. If the voice of the Lord allows a deer to give birth, how much more precious are you, made in the image and likeness of God? This is what it's all about. Be kind to yourself. God is busy perfecting everything concerning you. That's what the Word of God. God is busy perfecting everything concerning you. So be kind to yourself. Just go to Psalm 138, verse 8. I'm going to close with that. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands. Turn to the person next to you and say, God is busy perfecting everything concerning you. So be kind towards yourself. Look at what the Passion Translation says. It says, you keep every promise you've ever made to me. Since your love for me is constant and endless, I ask you, Lord, to finish every good thing that you have begun in me. Be kind to yourself. Not only are you made in the image and likeness of God, the Spirit of God has made you. The Lord calls you His temple. You belong to Him. If the situation looks like it's got no form, there's darkness, start to declare the light and life of God that is in you over that situation, because God's Word says it. Amen. Sila.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.